Okay, let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop our sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Yeah? Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Sukhato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall continue with the Pali chanting, Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarpa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang 不加巴加那摩特曼万那甘达古诺贝当贝当古苏玛三塔丁不加亚米摩尼达斯西里巴达萨罗罗嘿不揭弥不当古苏梅那尼那本尼那摩提那车河图摩康不旁米拉亚蒂亚达伊当米卡哟达达亚蒂维那萨巴王阿迪瓦塞托诺班提巴尼扬巴里卡比当阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴蒂干哈托穆特曼阿迪瓦塞托诺班提巴里巴里卡比当阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴蒂干哈图穆特曼阿迪瓦塞图诺班提波加那巴里卡比当阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴蒂干哈图穆特曼。Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of like. May this offering of like to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding fall far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang Pajemi. Dhammang Pajemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. So today is Tuesday, 26th of April, 2017. We will off the light now so that you can have your meditation. We can have half an hour. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. And for those who still need to train your mind, you just have to develop the ability to train your mind. Then after that, just silence everything. Relax. Maintain awareness. Then you will develop the mindfulness meditation on your own. I will ring the bell after about 25 to 28 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhammana Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokabido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditato Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato savaka sango Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahoneyo Pahoneyo Dakeneyo Anutarikaraneyo Anuttaraṃ puñyakhetaṃ lokasati Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jam. Buddhaṃ pujami Dhammaṃ pujami Sanghaṃ pujami Okay, you all can be seated. Then relax body and mind, maintain some more attentiveness. Then we will continue with our Diamond Sutta, chapter 25, which is page 165. But before that, we will turn to page 1 to recite the opening verse. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 165, chapter 25. Transformation without what is transformed. This is the title. Then the sutta said, Subhati, what do you think? You should not maintain that the Tathagata has this thought. I shall take living beings across. Subhati, do not have that thought. And why? There actually are no living beings taken across by the Tathagata. If there were living beings taken across by the Tathagata, then the Tathagata would have the existence of a self, of others, of living beings, and of life. Subhati, the existence of a self spoken of by the Tathagata is non or is no existence of a self. But common people take it as the existence of a self. Subhati, common people are spoken of by the Tathagata as no common people. Therefore, they are called common people. So this one is similar to the earlier one. It is due to the understanding of both sides, the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. So when you use word, you will have such problem. When you come to unconditioned Dhamma, there is no such thing. But when it comes to the traditional conditioned world Dhamma, then all this exists, including the duality. So again, we go through the commentaries. Sakyamuni Buddha said, you sound hearer. You know what is sound hearer? Those who become enlightened by hearing the Dhamma. So they are called sound hearer. In Mandarin or Mahayana, they call it sun wen. Wen is to perceive. Sun is sound. So when you hear or perceive the Dhamma being expounded by the Buddha, then there is this understanding that awakens the mind. Then such being that awaken because of this hearing, they are called sound hearers. And sound hearer, there are three of the four sainthood classification. They can be either the first stage of sainthood, Sotapanna, or Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, or third stage of sainthood, Anagami. So any of these three can happen during the first turning. Means when the Buddha proclaimed the truth, or when truth is being proclaimed. So sound hearer, you sound hearer, do not say that the Tathagata has the thought, I shall rescue living being. Why? There actually are no living being taken across by the Tathagata. The Tathagata and the living beings are one. Therefore the Tathagata rescues living being without there being any living being rescued. The Tathagata does not take living being across. They take themselves across. So this is Shen Hua's interpretation or commentaries that explain what is the meaning of the mark of a self cultivating, the mark of living beings to be taken across. Then all the other two marks, which is the basic four marks that cultivator can still cling on to, attach on to. And because of that, the merits that is being developed is limited. That's how this Bodhisattva way. The cultivation is very different because for Bodhisattva, they go beyond the four stages of sainthood. The sainthood way are the normal, traditional awakening by living beings. So they just teach the essential Dhamma. They don't cultivate the perfection of the paramitas, the 10 perfection to become Samasambuddha. And they don't walk the Bodhisattva way with the vows to fulfill and complete the training. They have not perfected the perfection of all virtues and wisdom. That's where the difference is. So because of that, the Buddha called out to Subhati. He said, "You sound here," means those who have not really gone through the Bodhisattva way. Then they will have the thought, because when we talk about Bodhisattva way, we have these four great vows, basic vow. First is we vow to liberate the limitless living beings and take them all across. So to the normal common people, or even those with sainthood awakening, they will still believe that the vow involves living beings to be taken across. That it involves a self that cultivates this path to become fully enlightened one, the Samasambuddha. Then there is also this mark of others living in this world. Then there is also this mark of a life, existence being like condition within the conditioned world. So these are the four marks. So that's why in the sutta is mentioned, there actually are no living beings taken across by the Tathagata. If there were living beings taken across by the Tathagata, then the Tathagata would have the mark of a self, of others, of living being, and of a life. So this is the sutta's explanation. So that's why when you come to the sutta, it involves the very penetrative ultimate truth understanding. When you have this understanding, then your cultivation become very different. You will be able to cultivate beyond the marks. Like last Tuesday, you look at the whiteboard. We have gone through. The three characteristics of Hui Ning's teaching, all the three bases. You can change this word to basis because it may confuse you with the three universal characteristics. So the three bases of Hui Ning's teaching. His teaching points direct to the true mind, which is your silent mind. And this is your meditative mind, the awareness, the pure awareness. Just aware, silent. The first basis or characteristics of this true mind is no thought. No thought means what? The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. You are already in sati. The moment thought arises, thinking arises, aggregate of mind arises, then you are no longer with your true mind. You are already lost in thought. Creation has started. So the condition arising mind has arisen. That's why no thought is the first characteristic or basis of Hui Ning's teaching. You have to train your mind until it is just aware, silent and still, without movement. That is the beginning of the real meditation. If you cannot develop that stability of mindfulness until it is on its own, aware, without thought, without any movement, you have yet to develop the real meditation. This is the mind that you use to meditate, your true mind. You cannot develop meditation through the thought process, which is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, or the condition arising mind. So this is the mind that is condition arising. That's why the aggregates are involved. That's why thought is involved. Thought is just the pure consciousness with its content. And the content of consciousness are sankhara. And sankhara are all your mental activity, mental states, mental thinking, everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. That's why vedana, sanya, sankhara, they are the content of consciousness. Then vijnana is the receptacle, or the pure consciousness itself. Then when you input the content, it becomes a thought. This is how the five mental aggregate of form and mind arise, and the mundane mind arise. And this is condition arising, not real. That's why when you get emotional, angry, envy, jealousy, lustful, selfish, peacefulness, agitation, or restlessness of mind, all of your activity or movement within, including your mental hindrance, all of your good state of mind, even loving kindness, compassion, all these are all condition arising state. The mind is conditioned into those states. And this conditioning comes from your views, your opinion. And your views are very important. So if you constantly reflect, contemplate, and recall the right thought, then it will condition the wholesome mind. But if you arise the unwholesome thought that has the evil root, then it will condition the unwholesome mind state. Then your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will be there. And this mind cannot meditate because this mind is conditioned arising. It can never realize the state that is beyond thought, beyond time. Because this is within the field of time, mundane. It's still a thought process. Whereas to realize the enlightenment of the true awakening, which is the Dhamma. The Dhamma, the Buddha said, is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So you have to use your true mind, which is just aware or silent, to awaken to it. So meditation is to understand this, then to train your mind until the spiritual faculty are very stable, then sati and samadhi will take over and bring about the state of no thought. This state of no thought is not a conditioned state. It's not one-pointedness. It's not absorption. It's not focusing. It's just a free mind that is just aware, silent. And this can only happen when there is no thought. But when you control the mind, fix the mind, you go into energy field, one-pointedness, you fix everything into one point, also no thought. But that one is not a free mind. That one is not sati. That one you cannot use. That one create a lot of energy. It make you very calm, very still. You go through jhana and all those things. So this is a big difference. Then this no thought, the awareness, is a free mind that can understand and be aware. And because it is able to be aware, it can recollect later on. Because when you are aware, means your mind is aware of whatever that you are aware of. Then through your recollection, you can recollect them. That's why you can come to understand them. When I'm aware of my movement, when I'm aware of how I place my purse, then I can recollect where I place it. Because that awareness can bring back memory or recollection. Well, when you are aware, you are not lost in thought. There is clarity. And that awareness can allow you to recollect. That's how mindfulness has its power and ability. Then when it's in the state of silence, there is clarity. there is just awareness. Then it can be aware of the reality. That's why it can awaken to the truth. It can see things as they are. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality. It's not according to your conditioning, your views, your opinion, and your thought process, or your belief system and all those things. This one is without the conditioning from the memory. This one is a free mind without any views or opinion. It's just aware. The moment you recollect or recall is memory. So memory will trigger off perception. When you recall memory, it comes out as perception, where you perceive through the memory. Then the image will come out. It can be your fear, your phobia, all the things that you accumulate in your brain. Then through that, it arises. Then because of your conditioning, your views, your opinion, you will perceive it with negativity or whatever according to your thought process, according to your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. That's how you stir your mind. That's how you react to sense experience. That's how you create all the karmic activity. Then through this, that mundane mind get entangled by itself. Because this will create the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, the attachment, the clinging, the grasping, where you think they are real. You cannot see the universal characteristics within each and every of these mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena, or physical phenomena. They are impermanent characteristics. They are suffering, non-self, or empty nature characteristics. So when this one arises, without understanding and wisdom, it becomes heedless. It becomes deluded. That's how living beings create a lot of heedless thinking, resulting in karmic negativity, resulting in karmic downfall. So to reverse all this, you have to train your mind to have this sati or mindfulness. Then you have to stabilize it until it's very stable. Then you are with it all the time, or most of the time. That is the meditative mind. That is the one that is constantly aware. That's how you will be aware of whatever mind state that arises. Then the mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, when you are aware, you can deal with it. That's why the four-eye effort can come in. Then you continuously purify your thought process. Then you develop the awareness to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Then from there, you straighten your view to develop the wisdom. And this is how you finally liberate. Then when wisdom arises, this second basis or characteristic of no mark will arise. When you have wisdom, you will come to know that this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the living being or the human being for our case, they are conditioned arising, impermanent, leading to suffering, empty, non-self. That's why there will be no mark of a self. When you realize that there is no mark of a self, then how can there be a mark of others and living beings and life and the conditioned world? That's how you will realize true emptiness. Then when you have that understanding, the third basis or characteristic will arise. You will not dwell, you will not cling, you will not hold, you will know how to use it. And use it without any delusion to grasp or cling onto it. Just like what the Fifth Patriarch told Hui Ning. Then Hui Ning came to great awakening. Means this mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, is not you, not real, impermanent, leading to suffering, empty, non-self. So this is the one. To come to this world, to live life, you have to use this to arise. And you have to use it with understanding that they are impermanent. It brings about suffering when you attach and cling. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto and grabs onto and say, this is me, this is I. Yeah. And because it's impermanent, that's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity. And because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, you cannot grasp, you cannot cling. That's why it's empty, non-self. So you will have this understanding that will lead to the third basis or third characteristics of Huining's teaching. That's why it starts with no mark. Oh, sorry, no thought, leading to no mark, then no dwelling. Dwelling, I have explained. The moment you dwell somewhere, like the Buddha image, means you are focused down there, you perceive it. Everything that you come to perceive, you dwell. That's why when you dwell, you lost your basic nature, the pure awareness to be aware. That's why you don't dwell. You can be aware. Aware, perceive, aware, perceive, but you don't dwell. That's why it can be either spacious awareness without a center where you don't dwell anywhere, or specific phenomenal awareness. That phenomenal, you are one with it, like chanting. The awareness and the mantra is one. Physical phenomena also same. The awareness and the form movement is one. Then specific nature's phenomena also same, like the moving car. When you are aware, there is no word. Just the awareness and the whole lot of moving car, they move as one. And that is specific phenomena, awareness. Then when you look at nature, the movement and the flow of nature, especially within nature itself, you look at the plants, the trees, the clouds, the nature's movement, all of the activity within nature. It can be vibration, senses that come through your six senses, or any other activity. Nature's flow, there are a lot. Then when you are just silent, spacious awareness, then you can see how your mind can still dwell. Because the moment you want to know, you want to perceive and understand, it dwells there. But those who are aware, those who have the meditative mind, they don't dwell for long. They just aware, understand, then they move on. And most of the time, they are in the state of continuous mindfulness. Either spacious awareness without a center or specific phenomenal awareness. That's why they are most of the time aware. They are seldom lost in thought, heedless. Almost, technically, almost none. Because while they recollect or think or contemplate, there is awareness within. So this is how meditation is to be understood and developed. So this is the part that we went through last Tuesday. So this condition arising mind or mundane mind is actually the dependent origination, the dwelling that the Buddha talked about, paticca samuppada. This is how you function as a human being, the five aggregate of form and mind. And from there, you develop the understanding, then the wisdom comes, then you will know how to cultivate according to the understanding, which leads you to the second basis of Huining's cultivation. Means you understand clearly that all these are not real. That's why there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of a living being that you are going to take across. That's what the sutta is talking about. Then there is no mark of life or others. Then after that, using your true mind or the silent mind or the awareness, which is the meditative mind, to meditate, the characteristics of this true mind or silent mind is silent, aware, stillness. That's why this one will be aware from within. That's why it seeks within. It never seeks outside. This one is lost in thought. You perceive, you focus, you dwell outside. That's why this one is always seeking outside. And a lot of the Mahayana teaching, they always advise you, to reverse the light and seek within, 回光返照。Reverse the light and seek within. Because truth is within you, within the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aggregate of form and mind, and nothing else. Okay? So that part, hopefully you can develop the understanding. Yeah. Then we go on. Page 186. The sixth patriarch said to the fifth patriarch, when one is deluded, one's master takes one across. But when one is enlightened, one takes oneself across. Once you understand, you take yourself across. When living beings are confused, the Buddha takes them across. Living being needs to wake up. But who wakes them up? It is not the Buddha. They wake up themselves. In other words, in the equality of the true Dhamma rhyme, the Buddha does not take any living being across. Living beings and the Buddhas are equal. There is not a little more of something on the part of the Buddha or a little less of something on the part of living being. Because of that, it is said they actually are no living beings taken across by the Tathagata. So this is also one of the possible way of explaining it. Because the real awakening comes from the self-realization. Here the self doesn't mean the true self, understand, or a permanent unchanging entity. The self here means the mundane mind. The mundane mind realizes itself and sees. So if you want to talk about that self, then it is not the actual interpretation of that word self, which is a permanent unchanging entity. So here the self refers to the five aggregate of form and mind, which is not a permanent unchanging entity. It's just like the way when the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So that we, or I, am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma, I am what I am because of my karma. That I, or entity, refer to the five aggregate of form and mind. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. So that is how the teaching can be rather confusing when you don't have this understanding. Because on one hand, the Buddha talked about non-self, anatta. Then on the other hand, in the five daily contemplation, he said, we, I. And he always talked about the entity. And that entity is the conditioned Dhamma. That's why the conditioned Dhamma has living being, has the form and mind, has the I and the me. But these are not permanent, unchanging entity. These are conditioned arising phenomena. That's why they are ultimately empty, not real. So this is also one of the way to explain that no one has been taken across. Because the living being that realizes itself awakened, that's it. You may bring about condition for them to have this ability to realize and to awaken. But it is not you who take them across. It is through your maybe teaching or whatever that you do that brings about the condition for them to awaken. And the awakening comes from the self-realization. The mundane mind realizes self and sees, that's it, finish. Okay? Then the next one. Were you to insist upon saying that there are living beings taken across by the Tathagata, then the Tathagata would have the existence of a mark of others, of living beings, and of a life. And the four marks would not be empty. So the Buddha tells all living beings to leave all marks. How much the more so must the Buddha himself have done so? So when the Buddha rescues living beings, it is really the living being who rescue themselves. The Buddha does not take living being across because he has no mark of a self. So this is the other way of explaining it, through ultimate truth, ultimate realization. Then Subhanti, the existence of a self spoken of by Tathagata is no existence of a self. The existence of self refers to the false self, is no existence of a self. Means referring to the form and mind, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's no self. Now then, he elaborated, it's no existence of a self means it is not the true self, means the permanent unchanging entity. Common people take the false self as true, but common people are spoken of by the Tathagata as no common people, therefore they are called common people. Subhati, those who are presently common people will eventually realize Buddhahood. So the Tathagata said they are not common people. You must not look upon them as ordinary. The Buddha said that all living beings have the Buddha nature. All can become Buddhas. It is only because of false thinking and attachment and delusion that they have not yet been able to certify to Buddhahood. The Buddha regards all living beings as his former father, mother, and as future Buddhas. Common people are just called common people, because that is what they are right now. So this is another way to explain all this that is written in the Sutta. So this one I think is quite straightforward. Then chapter 26. The Dhamma body has no mark. Subhati, what do you think? Can one contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks, the hallmarks when the Buddha was born? Subhati said, so it is, well honored one. One can contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks. Then the Buddha said, Subhati, if one could contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks, then a sagely wheel-turning king would be a Tathagata. Subhati said to the Buddha, well honored one, as I understand, what the Buddha has said, one should not contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks. At the time of the well-honored one, one spoke Agatha, we say, if one seeks me in sound, he practices a deviant way and cannot see the Tathagata. So this is the sutta part. But before we go to the commentary, I would like to explain this. This one, the explanation, if you understand, is very different. I believe it's very different. I haven't read what Xuanhua has spoken in the commentary. But based on our understanding, this part I have explained before. Who is the Buddha? The one that we take refuge in. Who is he? Is he that 2,600 over years Sama, Sambuddha, Sakyamuni that come? That one is his physical form, understand not? And the consciousness. That one is his Nimanakaya, functional body. That one is not him. That one is karmically conditioned. But you can call him the Buddha only after his perfection, the spiritual nature, Sambhogayakaya, connect. After meditation under the Bodhi tree, that fateful night, then when he connected to the true mind, true nature, then he inherited the perfection of his... What did he perfect? Sambhogakaya is what? His spiritual nature. It means he has perfected the 10 perfection. He has fulfilled all the condition to be a Sammasambuddha. So the Buddha is this spiritual nature that he has perfected. And it's nothing to do with the rupang out there. Understand? The The physical form is just a vehicle karmically conditioned for it to come to perform the function of a Sammasambuddha. Then the spiritual nature, the perfection of wisdom and virtue, the 10 perfection that he has perfected, that is the real characteristic. That is what the Buddha is. That is the one that all of cultivators, the Buddhists, we take refuge in. So the Sammasambuddha is the perfection of wisdom and virtue, the complete perfection cultivated by that being over aeons and aeons and aeons of cultivation. And that perfection, nobody can take it away. Nobody can own it. It's unique to that being's nature. That's why when they destroy or abuse the Buddha Rupang or image, don't get upset. But that is not the Buddha. That's why the Buddha said you must venerate the Buddha Rupang. Yeah? Means, like we chant, Vandami Che Tiang Sabam Sabatane Su Patititang Saririke Datu Mahabohim Buddha Rupang. Buddha Rupang, the Buddha's form, statue, Sakalang Sada. Means you have to pay respect to this Buddha Rupang or the statue or the image. The main reason is for you to recall to mind who the Buddha is, his perfection, his great wisdom and virtue. So that is the clear understanding. So the 32 hallmark is just the birthmark that will come with a great being. And that one is not the Buddha. That one is karmically conditioned through the physical form. You can follow. The real Buddha is the perfection that he has completed. He has fully completed the 10 perfection. And that is the summation of all his perfection of wisdom and virtue. That's why you can say he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being at that time when he arrives. That is the real Buddha. That's why he here in the Gatha is said, if one sees me in form, means the Nimanakaya, the physical form, or the Buddha image, you don't see the Buddha. But that is not the Buddha. Or if one seeks me in sound, you think you can hear the Buddha speak. That is not the Buddha. That is the vibration that comes from the form and mind. It's just like the voice that I speak. Yeah? Is that me? Is that me? The voice that you hear through your hearing consciousness, is that my nature? No. It's just a manifestation. I have to use something to share the Dhamma, the truth. This thing that I use to share is not the truth, understand? But it points towards the truth. That's why there is such thing as Dhamma within the conditioned world. The Dhamma is the teaching that points towards the realization. But the Dhamma is not the Nibbana, understand? It's not the realization. It's just like the finger pointing at the moon. The finger is the finger you can see. The moon is the moon. To realize the moon, you must grace beyond the finger to realize it. So meditation is the same. So all this understanding you will develop. Yeah. As I hear it is said, if they seek the Buddha in terms of sound, or sight or whatever, then he practiced a divine way and they cannot see the Tathagata, the true Tathagata, which is the Sammasambuddha. It's beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond form. It's his perfection. And that one is unique to that being. Nobody can take it away because it is his perfection that he has developed and is in the spiritual nature. Yeah? Of course, because of the spiritual nature, the karmic nature also very powerful. Okay, we turn to next page, page 188. We see 168. We see what Shenhua had to say in the commentary. Sakyamuni Buddha asked Subhati, Can one contemplate the Tathagata merely by means of the 32 hallmarks? Previously, the Buddha had asked Subhati if one could see the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks. Then at that time, he asked if one could contemplate the Tathagata by means of them. Seeing is a function of the eye, whereas contemplation is the function of the mind. Subhati was entangled in that distinction, and so he replied, yes, one can contemplate the Tathagata's Dhamma body by means of the 32 marks. But the Buddha points out that the sagely wheel-turning king also possessed the 32 marks. So, he too should be the Buddha. Actually, the wheel-turning king's 32 marks are slightly less distinct than a Buddha. People with the five eye and six spiritual penetration can distinguish the difference, but since ordinary people cannot, to say that ordinary people can see the Tathagata by means of the 32 mark means that they would also see a wheel-turning king as a Buddha. After Subhati heard the Buddha's explanation, he replied, as I understand what the Buddha has said, one cannot see or contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 mark. Sakyamuni Buddha then spoke a verse for Subhati. If one sees me in form means there may be people who sees the 32 physical hallmark and think that they see the Buddha himself. If one sees me in sound means there may be those who take the four eloquence and the eight sounds as being the Tathagata. He practices a divine way and cannot see the Tathagata. Divine path of grasping at the sight or the sound of the Buddha leads one into the extreme of clinging to conditioned existence. When one is not in accord with the middle way, one cannot see the Tathagata. The Avalokitesvara Sutta said, response and transformation are not the true Buddha. The 32 marks belongs to the response and transformation body, and certainly not the Buddha's Dhamma body. See? He also used that same explanation, except that he put it in the different description. Because these three bodies, Mahayana, they use different word to describe them. They use the word transformation body and the Dhamma body. Then also respond bodies. One who holds to annihilationism and nihilationism views everything as doomed to extinction. One who holds to permanence view everything as eternal. Both views are biased and not the middle way. If one seeks the Tathagata's Dhamma body by some path other than the middle way, it will be impossible to find them. So this middle way, the deep meaning is transcending duality. You remember we went through before earlier on? When you transcend duality, that is the real middle path. The first meaning is just to avoid self-mortification and sensual indulgence. So these are the two extremes. These are still duality. But the deeper meaning is the second meaning, when you can transcend all duality. That's why it's called the middle path. Neither good or bad. Neither right or wrong. Okay, then the last paragraph. Once Mahamangalana wanted to see how far the Buddha's voice carried, so he used his spiritual penetration and went as far east as he could. He passed through thousands of ten thousands of millions of Buddha land, 70,000 times further than a rocket can reach in space. But even when he had traveled that great distance, the Buddha's voice was still as clear as if he was speaking Dhamma right into Moggallana's ear. That is the case of searching for the Buddha in sound. So this is the explanation as given by Xuan Hua. So this one also has its meaning. Okay, we go to the next chapter, chapter 27. Next page, page 170. Not cut off and not extinguished. Subhati, you may have the thought that the Tathagata did not attain Anuttara Samyasambhuhi by means of perfection of marks. Subhati, do you think that the Tathagata did not attain Anuttara Samyasambhuhi by means of the perfection of marks? Subhati, you should not think that those who have resolved their mind on Anuttara Samyasambhuhi affirm the annihilation of all phenomena do not have that thought. And why? Those who have resolved their mind on Anuttara Samyasambhuhi do not affirm the annihilation of marks. So we look at the commentaries. This section of the text was spoken for those who, after hearing that one, cannot contemplate the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks, might wonder how the Buddha attained Anuttara Samyasambhuhi. To think that the Tathagata did not use the perfection of all marks of blessings and virtue to attain the unsurpassed, proper and equal right enlightenment is incorrect. The Buddha admonished Subhati to be careful not to think in that way. And why? If Anuttara Samyasambhuhi were the annihilation of mark, then that would mean that the Tathagata, although devoid of complete blessings, complete wisdom, and devoid of the perfection of marks, attain Anuttara Samyasambhuhi. To say that Anuttara Samyasambhuhi is the annihilation of all phenomena is to fall into the extreme view of annihilationism. One who has resolved his heart on Anuttara Samyasambhuhi always affirms the ultimate meanings of the middle way. He does not assert the theory of annihilationism or the theory of permanence. The views of annihilationism and permanence are not the Buddha Dhamma. And anyone not in accord with the Buddha Dhamma cannot realize Buddhahood. So cultivators of Buddha Dhamma should understand the middle way and not maintain extreme views. This is to transcend reality, the ultimate freedom or liberation of mind. When you do not cling on to the duality, means you have the perfection of wisdom. That's why you can understand things is just the way it is. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. Why? Why is it that way? But in our convention world, conditioned world, our standard convention, that's why we call that relative truth. There is still right and wrong in there, good and bad in there. There is still this duality in there, wholesome and unwholesome in there. But these are relative truth. These are not ultimate truth. Like I always advise you all, when you say, I want to do good, good according to who? That's why it's relative. Isn't it? Good according to you may not be the same as good according to somebody else. That's why I always say your truth, my truth. These are all relative truth. Truth according to you and me. But nature has its own truth. Truth is. The reality is. There is no argument. Which means when condition is like that, things will be like that. You understand the meaning or not? Very deep. When condition is like that, things will be like that. You cannot change. Eh? When the nature's law has moved this way with its condition, the outcome will be fixed. Because condition is fixed. Understand? Just like physics experiment or chemistry experiment. Whatever you do, if you fix the condition, the outcome will be predictable. So it's just like what I share with you all. If you were to come to your own understanding, it will take you very long. You remember during the early days, how to see things as they are, how to develop the straightening of view to come to term with the reality so that you will not react and stir your mind. I always tell you, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. So when condition is like that, things will be like that. Means deluded people, because he is deluded, he will do deluded things. Now you understand? Angry people will say angry things. Emotional people will do emotional people things. Selfish people will do selfish things. And this is the meaning of people are just the way they are. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Because their mind state is like that. That's why they will do things accordingly. So no right, no wrong. If they want to argue, you say, yeah, you are right. You didn't lie. You are right according to you. You understand? Yeah? He wants to be right. Means right according to who? According to him. Then you can say, yeah, you are right. That's it, finish. No need to argue anymore. Because when people insist that they are right, why do you want to prove them wrong? Yeah, it's just a difference of opinion. They are just the way they are, right according to them. Deluded people do deluded things. So that's why you can come to an amicable solution. You will not cling, you will not attach, you will not even react or argue or try to be right. Because that one is the egoic mind. So all this can be clearly understood when you have the realization. So this part is very beautiful. Eh? So now we move on and see what the commentary said. Oh, we already finished. Eh? Yeah, just now I read through page 171 already. Eh? So this one is for you to develop the understanding, the true understanding. Because Xuan Hua didn't explain the middle way. He just say you have to follow the middle way. That's it. Yeah. He didn't elaborate on it. So just now what I have done is, I had helped you to develop the understanding by elaborating on it. Yeah. Then next page, chapter 28. No reception and no greed. Subhati, a bodhisattva might feel the world system equal to the Ganges River sand with the 7 precious gems and give them as a gift. But if another person were to know that all phenomena are devoid of self and accomplish patient endurance, the bodhisattva's merits and virtue would have surpassed that of the previous bodhisattva. And why? Subhati, it is because bodhisattva do not receive blessings and virtue. Subhati said to the Buddha, World Honored One, how is it that bodhisattva do not receive blessings and virtue? Subhati, since bodhisattva cannot be greedily attached to blessings and virtue which they foster, they are said not to receive blessing and virtue. So this part is what the sutta said. Huh? You understand the meaning or not? Yeah? That's why I used to share with you all last time, remember? After you develop the cultivation, when you have realized the understanding, you cannot do all those things that you do already, you used to do already, unless there is condition to do. Understand? That's why after the year 1989, a lot of people still, they sometimes come, brother, come, we go and listen to this talk, this monk very good from where, and all say, then do dana, wow, they got 7 monks, complete sangha, everything. I say, you go. It's okay. Because it cannot chase anymore. Then people tell me, wow, this one got higher teaching, whatever. It cannot do one another. But when there is condition to do, meant to be, this nature will know. That's why I told you before last time, Sister Sok-Hun invited me to the house dana. Actually, when he made the request, I have not been to any dana since 1989 for more than 10 or 15 years already. But that one was because there were conditions, and she was so sincere when she made that request. It was at one of the dinner organized by Auntie Tan to raise some, maybe raise some money, yeah, for certain Buddhist activity and to sponsor certain monks and cultivators. I remember. And it was she who, during that dinner, lunch, then she made that sincere request. Then I say, okay, I will go. That's why that day I went. And when I was there, remember the first one that met me was Mong Sing, Lim Mong Sing. That time I was doing the sharing at Vipassana Center, section 17 above Kanan there. And Mong Sing was full of joy, very surprising. Hey, Bright Teo is here. Then everybody just look out. Then Chok Hun was the first one with a lot of joy. Wow, Bright Teo is here. Then she came out. Then a lot of people went to the Dana table, the offering they're supposed to offer to Manga. They come and pass it to me. Bright Teo, you offer. I said, it's okay, you all go ahead. I said, because I said, don't worry about me. I said, I just arrived, you all go ahead. Then you know what happened? Chok Hun, he came with a tray, very simple one. He just tell me, very sincerely, Bert Teo, I hope you can help offer. This one is, I make one, is it? Oh, I make one. Then he put the know how many items together, one each. Then I told her, okay, I will offer this one. I said, sadhu to you. Then I went in and made the offering. That's why there must be condition for things to happen. And this is the meaning of the sutta. The bodhisattva that has already gone beyond mark doesn't look for blessing, understand? Because it's incapable of negativity, understand? When you reach that final third stage of Bodhi mind development, when you complete that third stage, you will reach the fourth stage. You renounce samsara and continue with the perfection. At that time, the bodhisattva cannot fall back. The stage of non-regression, you cannot fall back already. Means you are incapable of negativity already. So everything you do got no more meaning. Well, there is no more mark, understand, of a being. But it's recorded in the nature's law, understand? The blessing and the perfection, because it's beyond mark. Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, that perfection of it will only happen when you can cultivate to the level of beyond mark. That's why a lot of people cannot understand. It's no more about merits and blessing. It got no more meaning, understand? It got no more like delusion and craving to do. Who is doing? Nobody is doing. Who is offering? Nobody is offering. But that form and mind has its what they call entity. Although it's condition arising, impermanent, non-self, empty, not you. But that form and mind is subject to karma. That one, with the wisdom connected, the understanding, the user of that form and mind can actually perfect that type of merits and wisdom, which is way beyond the one done by the conditioned mind. Do you understand? That's how this sutta said the merits. I read to you again. Subhati, a bodhisattva might feel world system equal to the Ganges River sand with the seven treasure of precious stone and give them as a gift. You know how much of that treasure or not? Each and every sand in all the Ganges River, no? Yeah? Every of that, they got the seven precious treasure, no? Or gems. Yeah? And give them as a gift, no? You know how much treasure or not? And that bodhisattva make the offering, no? Then you know what Sakyamuni told Subhati. But if another person were to understand that all phenomena are devoid of self, means without mark, and accomplish the understanding and patience, that bodhisattva's merits and virtue would have surpassed that of the previous bodhisattva who offered all those precious gem and treasure. Why? Subhati, it is because the bodhisattva do not receive blessing and virtue anymore. Subhati said to the Buddha, world honored one, how is it that the bodhisattva do not receive blessing and virtue? Yeah, he cannot understand. Then Sakyamuni Buddha explained, Subhati, because bodhisattva cannot be greedily attached to blessing and virtue which they foster, they are said not to receive blessing and virtue. So this sentence didn't explain, Anasana, whereas just now I explained to you. Because when there is no more mark of a self, all these things got no more meaning. Then when you reach the stage of cultivation where you are incapable of evil, then whatever you do is not only blessing and merit and wholesome, it's without mark. You cannot compare or understand. That type of merits and blessing is recorded in nature's law. But that bodhisattva has got no delusion that he is doing or she is doing, understand? That's why there is no more doing. It's just the understanding. Got condition, it manifests. And that one comes with the understanding of no mark. That's why it's very different. The nature of cultivation and perfection is very different. That's how you can fully perfect the 10 perfection. And when you reach that stage, you move very, very fast. Because whatever you do, there is no comparison at all. Way, way beyond. And that is the meaning. Yeah? Then now we see what Shenhua said. Huh? But if another person were to know that all phenomena are devoid of self, all phenomena include all Buddha Dharma, concisely they include the Four Noble Truths, the 12 dependent origination, 12 link, the 6 perfection, the 6 roots, the 6 dust, and the 12 places, and the 18 sense rhyme. If someone knows those various phenomena are devoid of self, he does not attach to the mark of a self or of things. For he knows that both person and phenomena are devoid of self. With no attachment to self and no attachment to phenomena, the attachment to emptiness also disappears. At that time, he accomplishes the patience of the non-existence of people and phenomena. In certifying to the patience of the non-existence of people and phenomena, one does not see the slightest phenomena produced or extinguished throughout the three realms. Although such patience can be experienced, it cannot be described. So this is Chen Hua's ways of explaining. It's slightly different. If you do not see even the slightest phenomena produced and do not see even the slightest phenomena extinguished, does that mean there are no phenomena? That is correct. Originally, there is no phenomena. But no phenomena still includes all phenomena. Words cannot describe what is referred to by the patience of the non-existent of phenomena. The phrase, to know that all phenomena are devoid of self and accomplish patience, is the most important point made in the Vajra Sutta, means the Diamond Sutta, Perfection of Wisdom, Diamond Sutta. Why does a bodhisattva merely by knowing all phenomena have no self and by realizing patience have more merits and virtue than the bodhisattva who gave vast amount of wealth? It is because bodhisattva do not receive blessing and virtue. In other words, bodhisattvas neither attach to receiving blessing and virtue nor do they attach to not having blessing and virtue. It is not necessary for acts which generate blessing and virtue done by a bodhisattva to have form or appearance. A bodhisattva should not greedily become attached and say, I fostered the blessings. I did that virtuous deed. He should not have such attachment. Then a bodhisattva is not attached to anything. What is there to receive or not receive? basically there is no reception and absence of reception. So the sutta say bodhisattva do not receive blessing. This is Xianhua's explanation. Slightly different because he explained according to his understanding. The actual one is based on the wisdom that you will develop when you have the understanding. Like what I explained just now on the whiteboard. Then next page, chapter 29. Okay, good. I think I finished this chapter, then we can stop. Then next week, maybe the three more chapter can finish. Should finish. Subhati, if someone were to say that Tathagata either come or goes, either sit or lie down, that person would not understand the meaning of my teaching. And why? The Tathagata does not come from anywhere, nor does he go anywhere. Therefore, he is called the Tathagata. And the title of this chapter 29 is very beautiful. The Stillness of the Awesome Manner. You remember I share with you? When my nature share, inside the nature, still, no movement. Then how did all this Dhamma come about? All these words come about? Then who say? I already explained earlier on in many of the sharing and the talk. You go back and listen to them. Wu Ping Ching Sir also explained Thursday class, Tuesday class, all I explained before. You refer to the earlier recording. So this is the meaning. The stillness of the awesome manner, because that nature is very different. That nature, when it connects and awakens, it will inherit all the spiritual perfection. Whatever spiritual nature's perfection that you have developed from the past, it will come back to you. You only inherit when you can silence your mind to meditate and connect to your true mind, that connect to your gateway, the nature. Then only you inherit all of your past perfection and cultivation within the spiritual nature. Then when that one come, that one become the wisdom, the understanding that is connected to the form and mind. Like this line, this brother Theo that you call, this physical entity and the consciousness inside, this is not me. This is karmically conditioned, vehicle and tool for this nature to come. But the moment it connect after 1989, that wisdom that arise through that direct seeing and the inheritance will be the new entity that drive this form and mind. That's why this form and mind, because it has this understanding, this wisdom, you can say it's enlightened. But that one is not me, understand? It's just a karmically conditioned form and mind, a vehicle and a tool, for it to come to perform the function or whatever that he has vowed for, to fulfill whatever condition that is already ripened. And also all those that have affinity with that nature. So all this, they will arise. So because of that, the nature which is connected to the form and mind, this nature, after it is already awakened, because it inherit and through the direct seeing it awakened, this wisdom within this nature which is connected to this form and mind, that is the stillness inside. And that one, through that form and mind, it can deliver the Dhamma. That's why the Buddha called it the Dhammakaya. When the Nimanakaya combined with the Sambhogayakaya, the Buddha is transformed into the Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body that speaks the Dhamma. So this Dhammakaya essentially is stillness, no movement inside. Then how did all this word come out? Because it's straight from the heart, not through the brain, not through the memory, nothing. When there is condition, it just Come on. It just, what it needs is condition. When there is condition, it will unfold. It will manifest. So whatever is manifested, shed, or delivered, is straight from that nature, straight from that understanding. Some call it straight from the heart. That's why you cannot understand. Within that nature, there is no movement, stillness. But the wisdom is inside. It's not stored somewhere. It's with that nature. So when this form and mind die, when it ceases through Parinibbana or whatever, that wisdom goes with it. Understand? That's why every life you come, you have to start all over again. In that sense, like all over again, where you have to start developing the condition to cultivate until you connect again. Not until you connect, you cannot inherit. Not until you connect, you cannot develop the wisdom, the awakening. Even Sakyamuni had to wait until age 35 underneath the Bodhi tree. Huineng, after he heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. Then he awakened and connect. Then the inheritance come back. Then when he met the fifth patriarch, it starts to stabilize. Then everything become very different. And this is how cultivation can be so difficult and take so long. So let's say if you don't connect early, if you don't have the bodhisattva vow, the understanding, the aspiration, the affirmation and all those things, by the time you connect, you can be pretty old. Let's say you connect at the age of 60-something. How much time do you have? To connect is just the beginning. Then after that, you have to slowly inherit, stabilize the understanding. That's why my last guy, my last teacher told me, for any of them to come to that point where you can locate your gateway, they are at least 80 years old. That was what he told me. Then he said, you are lucky, he said, at such young age, you can have the condition. But all this come about because of my vow. Understand? I have a very, very heavy vow. My second last teacher told me. Just at the very beginning when I met her in 1987 or 88, she already told me. She asked me three times. Two questions. She said, do you know who you are? I said, I don't know. Again, she repeated, do you know who you are? I said, I don't know. Third time he repeat, again I say, I don't know. Then after that he asked me the second question. Do you know how you come? I say, I don't know. Second time he repeat again, do you know how you come? I don't know. But the third time, he didn't ask. She just tell me what. You came with a very, very heavy vow. Straight away I say, I know. I understand. No. Because when the moment she said that, my nature knew, but this vow was all along. This life, I also make this vow. Before she asked me all those questions, I've been making that vow. And that vow is a very, very unique vow. It transcends all division. Because this nature vow, whenever it arises, whenever it comes, in whatever civilization or world system, it vow to realize the highest understanding and wisdom, irrespective of whether Buddhism or what. Just wisdom. That's why it connects me to my last guy. That's how it happened. Otherwise, it's impossible. And my second last teacher knew I will not follow her. She keep on asking me, do you know who are you? I don't know. Do you know how you come? when he mentioned that word, to her, she said very, very heavy vow. And that is how heavy it is to realize the highest wisdom. And without that parami, that condition, can never be fulfilled. That's why you must vow with that type of parami, that type of perfection. Then when that nature comes, everything will happen. The nature don't have to do anything. That's why I told you all, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. My last guy, I'm not supposed to see him. Because of the condition, it happened 6-7 times, never before. Then this nature knew after the 6th time, I don't know who this guy is, I must meet him, that's it, finish. But that time, I really don't need teaching anymore. My nature don't need any more teaching. It's already after 1989. So what happened is very strange and very unique. Then when everything unfolds, this nature just understand how nature's law can be so beautiful, how it can just unfold so beautifully, so meaningfully. So these are the understanding that this chapter 29 is trying to explain. Now we will read the thing mentioned by the Shenhua's commentary. After having spoken the previous section of text, Sakyamuni Buddha realized people might have doubt and become attached to the marks of Tathagata coming and going. Therefore, he said to Subhati, if someone were to say that Tathagata either comes or goes, either sit or lie down, that person will not understand the meaning of my teaching. It seems as if the Tathagata, the thus come one, come and go. But the coming and the going is only illusionary. Anyone who thinks he really comes or goes has failed to understand the principle of the Buddha's teaching, or of what the Buddha teaches. The Tathagata has no place from which he comes and no place to which he goes. Therefore, he is called the thus come one. So here, Shenhua didn't explain. You understand? You understand? Who is the Tathagata? Who's the Tathagata? Just now I explained already, the Buddha. Is the embodiment of what? His perfection of wisdom and virtue, is it? Is that one a human being? Does that one come and go? Nothing, is it? What it needs is a karmically conditioned vehicle, Nimanakaya. Then when it connects, this one just manifests. That's why the Buddha never lie down, never sit, never walk, never come, never go. That is the form, Anasana. That is not him. His embodiment of perfection of wisdom and virtue is part of the nature's law. That's why it's called the Sambhogayakaya. You know what is Sambhogayakaya? Spiritual nature, his spiritual perfection, all there. The perfection of wisdom and virtue. And that one is not a being, Anasana, not a thing. Nothing. It's just the summation of all the perfection. And that one just manifests from stillness. That's why the stillness of the awesome matter. Then we go on. Thus come one. That means the Buddha Dhamma's body neither dwell nor does not dwell. It pervades all places. That's why in this manner, Shenhua is correct. He used the Buddha's Dhamma body, the Sambhogayakaya combined with Nimanakaya, and that Dhamma body. That Dhamma body doesn't dwell anywhere, which is correct. Where that is his nature, his perfection, his inheritance. It pervades the whole universe. If it fills all places, from where could it come? Since it fills all places, to what place could it go? Therefore, it is said not to dwell and not to dwell. If you understand the Buddha Dhamma, the mountain, the river, the great earth, they are all within the Tathagata's Dhamma body. means the oneness nature. If you do not understand, you see the Tathagata, but do not recognize him. If you understand the Buddha Dharma, you can recognize the Buddha without even having to see him. And once you recognize the Tathagata, it is very easy to rely on the Dhamma to cultivate. If you don't recognize the Tathagata and do not even know what the Buddha is all about, how can you study Buddha Dharma? To fail to recognize, yet to proceed to study, is called the blind leading the blind. See? That's why you have to comprehend who the Buddha is and how special he is and how unique a being he is. If you are blind, you may make a mistake or choose to follow someone who is also blind. Although your leader realizes that he himself is blind, he may not want to be followed, and so he pretends he can see. The two of you then fumble along, running here and there, until eventually you both fall into the sea and are drowned. It is essential from the start to recognize the Buddha Dhamma and to understand how to cultivate. Then you can study. Like I shared with my wife just now, dinner time. The Salika Sutta, the Buddha mentioned, if you are stuck in the Kwamaya, how can you rescue somebody who is also stuck with you? Understand? You have to come out of the Kwamaya, the soft pit, or the what they call like quicksand. If you are not out, you cannot help to take somebody out. That's why you don't have Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who has the Dhamma. That's why Kayanamitashi is 100% of the holy life. That is the meaning. You don't have somebody who really have already realized the Dhamma and has the Dhamma. You cannot learn because he himself that is blind cannot show you the way. Only those who have awakened can show you the way. So this is the meaning that Shenhua tried to explain. Okay? Then when you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you can rely on the Dhamma to cultivate and realize Buddhahood. If you follow the method of the external way, means Wai Tao, you will only be led further and further away. The further away you go, the harder it is to return. And because you cannot return to the origin or the source, a very great danger arises. The Thus Come One does not come and go. Therefore, he is called the Thus Come One. Thus is Tatha, means non-movement. Come, Agata, means movement. Movement and stillness are one identical suchness. Movement does not obstruct stillness. Stillness does not obstruct movement. That means, in cultivating the way, you can investigate that while sitting quietly, and can also investigate Dhyan while moving about. From morning to night, in all components of posture, walking, standing, sitting, and lying down, you can do the work of cultivation. It is not merely while sitting in meditation that you should apply effort. At all times, you should guard your body, collect the mind, and cease from all confusion and scatteredness. You should return the light and illuminate within. Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Some may ask, the section of text said, the Thus Come One does not come or go. But at the beginning of the Vajra, it said, at mealtime, the world-honored one put on his robe, take on his bowl, and enter the great city of Savati to beg for food. Is that not going? It also say after he finished, his sequential begging, he returned. Actually, it should be arms round. He returned. Is that not coming? How come you say he does not come or go? It is not the Buddha who comes and go. It is your mind which comes and go. For example, when the water is pure, the moon appears. When there are clouds, the moon is hidden. When the moon appears in clear water, has the moon really come to that place? When cloud hides the moon, has the moon really gone away? So this is Shenhua's analogy. Also, something When people look at cloud moving through the sky, they see the moon moving and the cloud standing still. Or a boat may move down a river and it appears to some that the two banks are moving and the boat is stationary. Does the bank actually move? No. So this is Xuan Hua's explanation. Yeah? The Buddha's transformation body come and go, but his Dhamma body does not. Maitreya Buddha spoke a gatha which says, what comes and go are the Buddha's transformation body. Ah, see? This is the what they call the transformation body, yeah? The Nimanakaya. The Tathagata is eternally unmoving. Well, that nature doesn't move. He is neither the same nor different from every place within the Dhamma realm. You should know that it is not the Tathagata who come and go. It is the discrimination of the eight consciousness which perceives a coming and a going. My wife's alarm bell, 10:30 already. When the Vajra Sutta tells you not to consider the Buddha as either sitting, lying, coming, or going, it is telling you not to make such distinction. When you no longer make distinction, your wisdom can appear. Your prajna will manifest in direct proportion to the degree you have cast out discrimination. In the mind of most people, there are so many discrimination that they entirely feel of the eight consciousness, which is basically pure with filth and defilements. Once you are rid of all that garbage, your wisdom will appear. So it's very easy to understand, isn't it? Yeah? So those defilements are your wrong view, your evil roots, your attachment, your craving, your clinging, your views, your opinion, yeah? All those things. So when you got a lot of rubbish accumulated in your mind, you got no space. That's why there's no clarity, there's no understanding. And attachment is clinging, grasping. And how do you attach? Through your memory, you accumulate them, store them inside there, you hold on to them, you cling on to them, you grasp on to them. Otherwise, there is no memory. Understand? Like computer, remember? Computer, you got RAM. What is RAM? Random access memory. They will stay in the brain, understand? But you don't hold on to them. When you need them, you access them. That is the meaning of the non-grasping mind. You understand? The living being, the putujana, the what they call whirling, means the deluded one that are still subject to birth and death. Yeah? You know how they dwell? They attach, they cling. That's why that memory that is in their brain, they keep on worrying about it, understand? No? That any condition that allow them to recall, they will react and stir. And this is what delusion is all about. But for the enlightened one, Arahan and beyond, their aggregates are non-grasping. You know what is non-grasping or not? The five aggregate of form and mind is still there, but it's non-grasping. The memory can come back. It can arise. Non-grasping. It knows that they are not real. Delusion. Illusion. They have the universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, non-self and empty. That's why it's so different. That's why they can just assess it when they need. They don't need, they don't have to assess. Even when there is condition for them to recollect or what, it doesn't affect them. Yet their aggregates are non-grasping because of the wisdom. That's how they can free their mind. That's why this Diamond Sutta, last few chapters, is very good. Okay? Shall we end? Eh? We'll end. You got any question, you write it down. Next Tuesday, we have our last session. Yeah? Then I can answer all those questions. Okay? So now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Recall to mind. You can rejoice first. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will recall to mind all of the wholesomeness meritorious action that you have developed over the last 2 hours plus. We shall now share and transfer these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang meya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang meya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang meya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the holy ones. Then we end. Buddhang pujayame. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay.